Thank you for tuning in today to our Wednesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we'll be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
So, this says here in verse 16, it says, "And he shall make restitution for the harm that he has done." Well, what kind of harm? Well, to the Lord, I get that. "He shall add 1/5 to it and give it to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him for the ram of the trespass offering and shall be forgiven him." These holy things, the amount defrauded, and so these holy things of the Lord were to be provided for those who have no inheritance of their own when it comes to the poor. It also has to do with the priests who had no inheritance in the land. It was there to provide for them as well. I have this up on the screen, but Deuteronomy 14:28 says this. "At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do." See, you withheld, and because of your sin, even though the sin offering takes care of your sin, the trespass offering begins to take care of the mess that your sin caused. Guess what? There's not enough shekels in the tabernacle there to take care of the poor. This is what your mess has caused. And because of that, you're going to add more shekels to the treasury there as you give there to the priest in order to take care of this mess that you have created by them not being able to give to the poor, or possibly not being able to bring that ram or some of the other offerings to where the priest and the Levites could eat, and now they're doing without. And so you've caused this mess, and it's not you, but it's other people that are doing the same thing. And so now you're going back in to change this mess that your sin has created. It has affected the priesthood. It has affected the other Levites that don't have an inheritance. It's affected those who are poor because there's not enough to give them. This is what your sin has caused. It's gone beyond you and the Lord. It's now society has been hurt by it. Okay, so this is what this is now taking care of. In verse 17 of Leviticus 5, "If a person sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity." In verses 17 through 19, we have a partial repeat of what we just seen in verses 14 through 16. The difference is in that those in verses 14 through 16 were a matter of certainty, meaning that they have come to know that they have sinned. Verses 17 through 19 has to do with people that are kind of going, "I don't feel right. There's something that the Lord is putting on my heart that I haven't done, yet I can't put my finger on what it is that I haven't done. But the Lord has put it on my heart, and so you're going to go to the priest. The priest is going to kind of ask you, 'Did you give this? Yes. Did you give this? Yes. Did you give this? I'm not sure. I think it did, but I'm not sure about that. Okay, what about this? Yeah, I'm not sure about this either. It was so long ago, I'm not sure if I did this or didn't do this." Okay, well, the Lord's obviously putting something on your heart, okay? So let's go ahead and make this trespass offering. Can't put a finger on exactly what it is that I withheld from, okay? So he says here, "If a person sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it." This one he doesn't know. He can't put a finger on it. Yet he is guilty. He just has this sense. When you receive the Lord, you know sometimes by your actions that later on God is convicting you of something and you're going, "I don't know what it is." And you go to the Lord and then he shows you it's because of this and you go, "Oh, I didn't even realize it at the time." That's the conscience. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you know. That's kind of what's happening here. "And he shall bring to the priest a ram without blemish from the flock with your valuation as a trespass offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him regarding his ignorance in which he erred, did not know it. It shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord." Notice, no 1/5 restitution. Because they're not quite sure. But let's go ahead and at least give the valuation of a ram, which is however many shekels it is, and then let's go ahead and offer the ram just so you can be sure that you're okay, okay? And that whatever you're sensing from the Lord is something that has caused probably an issue, but you can't put a finger on it yet. And so again, it's another way to be able to give the Lord without knowing exactly what it is. You come to him and says, this is for a trespass offering. I just sense like I've trespassed against the Lord, and I don't know exactly what it is. He'll talk to the priest. The priest will say, then just give the ram. Then just give the ram, okay? So again, we have that. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. The special significance tied to the trespass offering is that there is a need for satisfaction of offenses against the Lord, and these types are shadows or pictures. They're a picture of the person of Jesus. He is the final, fully sufficient, perfect, complete satisfaction for the sin of the world, period, end of story. And nothing needs to be added to it. All debts are paid in Christ Jesus. That is what this is representing here. In 1 John 2:1, it says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, guess what? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Meaning, we're still going to make mistakes. We're still going to sin unintentionally. And guess what? As Satan brings that up in heaven and is there condemning you before God, guess who's there? Jesus is. He's your advocate. And as Satan says, hey, Dave Love did that yesterday. Hey, Dave Love did that 3 days ago. Hey, Dave Love did this. Jesus is standing right there. And when God looks at him, he says, these things are all true. But I've taken out his sin by my blood. And God the Father says, innocent, not guilty. And that goes on all the time, all the time. So the previous section here dealt with trespasses against the holy things to the Lord. This is going to deal with trespasses against a person, okay, in chapter 6. So in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person sins, commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he was extorted from his neighbor, these are going to be things here that are done deliberately. The word trespass here is ma'al, and this is not saying unintentional. This trespass is very intentional. Everything we mentioned here is kind of like, oh, I didn't know I robbed him. You know, really? Okay. Oh, I wasn't trying to extort from him. Really? You know, and so I didn't mean to steal what she put into my hands for safekeeping. No, these are things that are done deliberately. So when it comes to a trespass against a person, these are not unintentional. These are things that are very intentional. Okay, so the same word trespass, ma'al, is used here. Okay, same word here. And so again, it talks about here, if by lying to his neighbor, the word lying here in the Hebrew is Chahash, and it means deception, to deal falsely. It has only been used once before, this actual term, and it's in Genesis 18:15 when it comes to Sarah denying that she laughed when the Lord said she would bear a child. So in Genesis 18:15 it says, but Sarah denied it. The word denied, same word that we have here for lying. Because when you deny something, okay, that is true, you're lying. So she lied saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid, but she did laugh. So the word kahash means Sarah lied in denying the truth. It is going, this, what we're talking about here is a lie of denial or deception, and you're lying to a person, a neighbor. The word neighbor here is a new word that we haven't come across so far in Leviticus. With one exception in Zechariah, we'll see it again there. We find it in Leviticus and in Zechariah. And it is a word that means neighbor in the way of a close companion. You know this person. You've built a relationship with this person. Okay? it's interesting because as we go through Leviticus, you come across words that you won't find in other places in God's word, because it is a book that describes the law, describes how you're supposed to do things. It's one of the reasons why, because some of these words are more exact than another word, okay, that you would normally use in the rest of Scripture. It's the reason why lawyers use the words that they use, okay? Because you could say, okay, does it mean that? Yeah. Then why not use that word? Well, because that word could also mean this, this, and this. And so when it comes to lawyerese, okay, you use this specific word that nobody's ever heard of before, but it has a more a tight meaning, meaning it can only mean this. It has more of a precise meaning. That's why they use the words that they use, okay? We see that in the book of Leviticus. So the word neighbor here is talking about someone who is a neighbor that these things would happen with. It would be a close companion, an associate, which even makes this more heinous that you did these things because you know them so well, okay? So if we look at this here, I love this. This is like, okay. If a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor, notice it says you're still committing a trespass against the Lord when you lie to your neighbor. When I harm my neighbor, my sin first is before God. Well, for one, he's the one that said, love your neighbor. So you violated that before you actually didn't love your neighbor. Okay? This is why David would say after his sin with Bathsheba and against Uriah, her husband, you know, In Psalm 51, it says, you, O Lord, alone have I sinned against. Because he understands that ultimately the sin always comes back to God. You sinned against God. Okay. And so here, we see that here. If a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to a neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, a pledge, or robbery, or extorted from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost, and lies concerning it, swears falsely in any of these things that a man may do in which he sins. Well, this is interesting to me. This is different than being caught, as we'll see here in a moment. All right? So, in Exodus 27, verse 7, it says, if a man delivers to his neighbor money or articles to keep, and it is stolen out of the man's house, if the thief is found, he shall pay double. If the thief is not found, then the master of the house shall be brought to the judge to see whether he has put his hands into his neighbor's goods. So, thief came in, stole just his stuff, not mine. Okay, maybe. Found the robber, okay, found the thief. Great, he's going to now pay double. Not only give back what he has, but he's going to pay on top of that, so it's double. Okay, but if we can't find the person who you said came and robbed and took the donkey and only his donkey that you're keeping for safekeeping while he was out of town, but they only broke in and took his donkey, didn't take any of your donkeys, let's check a little bit more into you. And then they find that donkey in a further field further out. Okay, now that guy is going to have to pay double, all right? Or about robbery or extortion, if something's taken by violence, okay, or through oppression, or any of these other wrong, it's an offense to God. Or if he has found what is lost and lies concerning it, finding something which was lost by another and lying about it is theft. Okay, is theft. In Exodus 23:4, it specifically speaks, when you find your enemy's donkey, you are to return it. Thus, if you are not going to keep your enemy's donkey, then you're probably not going to keep your friend's donkey or your neighbor's donkey. Thus, well, I'll give my neighbors back. My enemy's my enemy. Even God's word says no. What doesn't belong to you doesn't belong to you, period. End of story. So by saying you must return your enemy's donkey, you are now saying you are to return everybody's donkey. Friend, acquaintance, really good friend. It is all encompassed there, okay? And if he swears falsely in any of these things that a man may do in which he sins, so you're covering up. Verse 4, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty that he shall restore what he has stolen or the things which he has extorted or what was delivering to him for safekeeping to the lost thing which he found. So the idea here is that the person did found this ox or donkey wandering on his property and has kept it. People have come, hey, have you seen Joe's donkey? Nope, haven't seen it, but he's kept it. He hasn't been caught, but he is now feeling guilty. He is feeling guilty. And so because he's feeling guilty, he's going to have to restore that. He's going to bring Joe his donkey, that which he has extorted, that which maybe was given to him for safekeeping, that thing which he found that was lost. Verse 5, or all that about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore its full value, add one-fifth more to it, and give it to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. Okay. Dave, how do you know that he is feeling guilty and of his own good conscience and everything else has gotten the best to him, and now he is saying, I did it. You know, I was wrong. I kept the man's donkey. I did it. I was supposed to keep this thing safe. And no, somebody didn't really come and steal it, but you haven't found me guilty. I did it. How do you know that's what's happening here? Because if you come to full confession and say, I did it, even though you didn't catch me, you don't pay double. You only restore what you've taken, and then you pay a fifth. He shall restore its full value and one-fifth more of it. Go to Exodus 22 here. Just go over here to the left a little bit. Remember back in the 50s when we were in Exodus 22? Remember way back then? So, but here in 22, starting in verse 4, it says, if the theft is certainly found alive in his hand, whether it's an ox or donkey or sheep, he shall restore double. Verse 7, if a man delivers to his neighbor money or articles to keep, and it is stolen out of the man's house, if the thief is found, he shall pay double. Go to verse 9. For any kind of trespass, whether it concerns an ox, a donkey, a sheep, or clothing, or any kind of lost thing which another claims to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whomever the judge condemns shall pay double to his neighbor. So if you're supposed to pay double, why only a fifth of restitution added instead of double? And it's because, I would submit to you, it's because this person is remorseful and has willingly come forward of his lying about taking his neighbor's goods, or he hid this thing that was safekeeping, or whatever it is that he has done, which he has stolen. He is the one that has brought forth and admitted his guilt. And so because he has done that, full valuation, hand back over, which was your neighbor's, but you're going to add a fifth to that as well. And guess what? Then you're also going to bring a trespass offering at this point. So what can happen? You could be forgiven. Guess what? When you're caught stealing something, there is no trespass offering for that. Thou shalt not steal. That's right. And if you do and you're caught, you have to pay double. And who do you go to? The judges. You don't go to the priest. Another high-handed, and now what do? You rely upon God's mercy and grace at that point, just like David had to do. Just like David had to do. Verse 6, and he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish from the flock with your valuation as a trespass offering to the priest. So again, how much was that donkey that you restored back? Well, the donkey is worth, 10 shekels. Well, now you got to add a fifth of that, and you still have to bring a ram as a trespass offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any of these things he may have done which he trespasses. He's atoning, he's forgiven. It's like it hasn't even happened, even though the neighbor might remember and say, next time we're not having Sam watch our donkey, but, whatever. Sam. Samuel. Yeah, that's a biblical name. His name would be Sam. But here's the interesting thing to me. In this instance, where there's a change in the order of sacrifice and restitution, in the institute of restitution, that had to be made first with the person before you do the trespass offering. Before you bring any offering to God, you better make right with your neighbor. And it was probably by making offerings to the God that God has been on his heart saying, you're not right with so-and-so. you kept back. Well, I didn't steal. You did. It wandered on your property. You know it was his. They asked. You said no. And the conviction begins to take place. Now he has to make right with his neighbor first, restore what he had taken, restitution. Now he can come to the Lord. Now he can come to the Lord. This is why in Matthew 5:23, it says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Okay? So you're coming before the Lord, okay? You're giving before the Lord, and the Lord's going, uh-uh. Remember Steve? He has something against you. He thinks that you've trespassed against him. He thinks that you've sinned against him. Guess what? Go work that out. And so you go to work it out. But guess what? Steve's not having any of it. He's not having any of it. Well, guess what? Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Try and work it out the best you can. Apologize, whatever it is you need to do. But do that. Jesus himself said, after giving that beautiful, how should we pray? You're going to start with our Father. Isn't that great? He's your Father. Goes down and tells him, pray in this like manner. He doesn't say pray this exact prayer, okay? But how you come to God and praise and how he's your Father. And then you ask for your sustenance and you end in praise and his glory. And then he says right after that, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Basically, he's saying, you have this wonderful relationship with God. You get to speak with him. You get to pray. You've received me. You have this amazing, intimate relationship with God who has forgiven you of everything. And you can't forgive when someone has trespassed. That is mean that they have done something belligerent on purpose. They don't care about you. They know what they did to you. You can't forgive them? Well, you don't know what they did to me. I do know that God forgave you of whatever you've done to God, and that's a whole lot worse than anybody could do to you. So why do you think he's allowed for this person to trespass, lie about you, extort from you, steal from you? Because God wants to check your heart. Will you forgive them? Doesn't mean you have to trust them, but you definitely have to forgive them. If this has not happened in your life, I'm here to give you this wonderful news. It will. And if it has happened, let me give you this wonderful advice and news as well. It will happen again because God wants to check your heart. Wow, this guy just totally ripped me off. And the reason he ripped me off, you know why? He needs Jesus. She needs Jesus. Well, they say they're Christians. Okay, I guarantee you they don't have a great walk with the Lord. And what does God do with his children who are in disobedience? He chastises them. Lord, can I be there when you do that? No. No, you can't. No. But he will do that. He will do that. So when we look at the sin offering, we see more. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteous of God in him, in order to do what? To change our sin nature. Okay? To sin, change our sin nature. But when it comes to the trespass offering, Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And because he has forgiven us of all trespasses, we should forgive others as well. Not only because of that, your sin nature, your sin having dominion over you is gone. Whatever situation you've gotten yourself into, he will change that because you will be dead to your trespasses, to what your sin has caused, and he will change that situation. When you come to Christ, you're a new creation. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Let's pray.
We're out of time for today's Wednesday edition of Abiding in the Word. Pastor Dave Love will be back tomorrow to continue our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids' ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.